This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back, 4 o'clock hour, Jay Binkley, Rob Britton, Carrington under the weather today. He'll be back again tomorrow. We're off at 5:30, a little Royals baseball action for you. Hear from one Josh Vernier today at 5:30 as Cole Reagans toes the slab, as Vern calls it, against Lopez tonight for the Twins. You're not going tonight, though. You're going tomorrow. Is that correct?
No, I'm going tonight.
That's is it tonight?
That's an A-plus pitcher's duel right now.
That is an A-plus pitcher's duel.
Assuming Reagans is the guy we saw against the Brewers and not the opening day guy, but I think he's far more...
He's no Bubich, man. Just kidding.
And you know what? I'd like to see the Royals actually score some runs against Pablo Lopez. He has absolutely dominated the team historically.
1-1, 1-2, or a 2.25 ERA so far early on in the season. I can't wait. I love watching this game tonight. Of course, we got the Masters coming up later this week. Guess who just keeps popping out of my timeline on X, Rob? Paige Spiranek. Do you know who I'm talking about? It's a lady.
Yeah, it just happens to pop up. Totally, Bink.
Well, there's things that pop up, Rob. There's a couple of things that would make Colorado blush, to be honest with you, the whole state. Dusty Likens and I like this Paige Spiranek. She likes to take pictures of herself on the golf course, but she is out for the practice rounds at the Masters. I don't know if you follow Paige Spiranek, but she is a wonderful golf analysis. Great golf.
Really, really dive into the who needs Andy North when you have Paige Spiranek, right?
No, I mean, who needs Mel Kiper? If you got Paige Spiranek looking out, I mean, it just pops out, if you know what I'm saying, when she's on there. Looks fantastic. By the way, the green outfit for Masters, I changed my mind. That's the best sport, man. It changed my mind. Paige Spiranek changed my mind. Mel Kiper didn't do this, you know.
The best sport is her Instagram.
Yes, or X, whatever you call it, but it pops out. MJ Melendez. People always have the guy they don't like, right? There's always going to be somebody you don't like, whether it's Hunter Renfro and that great defense he's been playing, just kidding, or MJ, or does it matter? Or would you like to see more production from the outfield? They clearly tried to shore up the outfield, and we'll talk about Cags later. He hadn't played in the outfield, by the way. There's talk that he'll be, once he gets to AAA, play more in the outfield. But I caution that because it's not easy for guys to transition to the outfield. Now, Jonathan India, we'll see what he – I think he does okay when he's out there, to be honest with you. But have you seen Jose Altuve when he's been playing the outfield? Have you seen the – a great player that he is, a disaster in the outfield. But MJ Melendez had this swing that I hated last year, Rob. I absolutely hated it. You know what I'm talking about? He would start with the bat kind of cocked forward, and then he'd slowly bring it back, and he was always kind of late to the pitch. If he connected, he connected, but it wasn't connecting very often. But he's reaching base. He's doing things. Vern's call the other night. Did you hear that? You know,
the guy that called in to Vern. Can't rely on the other guys.
Vern mad, but he did. Clearly did. Usually it's me. But it was Steven this time that calls Vern after losses. But MJ Melendez, that swing bothered me, but he's changed it. He's changed that swing, but it was annoying because it was always late to the ball, and then he'd hit this monstrous home run. I'd be like, oh, I guess the swing works out for him. Wait till June. Wait till July. Wait and see what MJ's doing. But he's changed the swing. This earlier today, JJ Piccolo, that joins Cody Gold, twice a month? Every other week he joins him?
I believe it's every other week-ish. Every other week they try to get him on, depending on timeline, homestand, things of that nature.
This is what he said about MJ Melendez.
Yeah, regardless of what the batting average is, I think over the last four games he's got on base 6-7 times in that area. But I think he's made a little bit of a change. I can't really say I'm 100% sure, but it looks like his bat angle is a little bit different where he's starting. And he's on time a little bit more. The ball he hit last night was as good of a swing as anyone can take. I mean, a little more elevation, that ball's out. So that was a good at bat. The walk was a good at bat.
I mean, a little more elevation, that ball's out. I mean, that's baseball talk, trying to be positive. To be honest with you, it is. Now, is it a guy you can win with? Yeah. His defense shows you can win with. It's clearly you want to see the Royals go a different direction with a more consistent bat. I'm not a big fan of these. Well, it would have been a hit or a home run. It wasn't, Rob. So that's why I look at things. It's pretty cut and dry, right? Did you make a hit or not? Almost hits, I don't give a damn about. Did you get it or not?
That's fair.
I mean, seriously, that's the way I look at things.
That's fair. I will say this. This show has been very hard on MJ Melendez, Hunter Renfroe, and Kyle Isbell. Mostly, I feel like it's fair because those three in the outfield have not been carrying their weight. But what JJ said there was interesting to me because at the end he talked about, in the last four games he's been on base 6 times. And yes, the batting average is .130. And yes, he needs to drive in more runs. And yes, it was one good game. You need a larger sample size. But why I'm willing to be more patient being relative with MJ Melendez, is because he's still getting on base. And there's still a little bit of value there. And he has options. So if the swing needs another tinker or twist, you can send it to AAA. Like, I think fans are quitting on MJ Melendez maybe fairly, but I think there's still something the Royals can extract from him. When I look at Hunter Renfroe, I feel like we are hurtling toward DFA town, where with MJ Melendez, there are, albeit marginal incremental growth, that incremental growth does in fact exist.
And the one thing about it, I mean, you're not going to be stars everywhere. Is this team good enough to beat the Twins in this division? Yeah, I think it's a two-horse race. I think it's Detroit, and I think it's Kansas City. But MJ, you got to be patient. I mean, eventually you say, my patience has run out with MJ because you want to see him contribute. Like, I'm rooting for this guy to succeed. You have to. Why would you want him to fail? You don't want to. It's your favorite team. You want him to see him succeed. The swing was bad last year. It's different this year. I do like that. But I'm not the whole shoulda, woulda, coulda, almost, if he puts more elevation on South Park. No, I'm pretty cut and dry. Either you got a hit or you didn't. I mean, it's that simple when it comes to MJ. But it is a guy that needs to work out. I mean, it's not like Cags just can walk right through the door and you can put him in the outfield. I think people are dreaming about that, and we'll get to it later. But you got to play in the outfield first to be able to do it. Yeah, it's great in theory.
He's got to play 4 minor league games in AA before. I mean,
he just played first base right now. That's it. That's it. 100%. That's it.
And again, I don't want to come off like an MJ Melendez defender because it has been a rough go. And I know George Brett was on the morning show. It was on opening day, so 2 weeks ago now.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how there's some frustration that he doesn't appear to be listening to, or hadn't been listening to, coaching. I think it's a better way to sum up what George was saying. But
and that's huge.
There's a swing tinker now. You heard JJ in that cut say he's even tinkered from the tinker. So he's doing things which may imply that he's listening to coaching. He was a guy that when he came up, you thought, oh, he could be one of the pillars of the organization. I don't think he can ever be that. But for an organization that was beyond patient with Alex Gordon, was super patient with Mike Moustakas, I don't see them just quitting MJ Melendez. I think they are going to hope and pray for more incremental growth until he becomes a serviceable major leaguer. But I understand why fans are willing to quit on him, because hoping one day he becomes serviceable while you're hoping to compete is a tough deal serving two masters.
No, I agree with you on it, but you want to see him succeed. And if he is getting on base and doing something, you got to do little things. You got to do play good defense. You got to do the little things to justify being on the field. But it behooves the Royals to have him being good rather than bad. So we can talk about that all the time in the future, but he needs to be good. And I don't know why the text lines tell me to chill on Paige Spranick. Either half the people think she's hot and other people don't. I'm not a creepy old man. I'm just a dude, and she's hot, and I'm saying she's hot. And why can't I say that? She is, Rob. I mean, she's not ugly, and she's a golf fan, and she teaches golf. To me, that's a professional. But the text line doesn't like that, so okay. Saying I'm creepy and all that, middle-aged creepier dude. Well, that's fine. Proof's in the pudding. You go look at the X page and you tell me what you truly think. It does beat talking MJ at times, to be honest with you. Talking Paige Spranick. It's a lot more attractive than MJ in his swings, but you have to listen to coaching. If they're telling you something, you have to listen to it. That's what's always tough for some of these legends to go coach, because they're not doing things like they wanted them to. It's why typical managers in baseball are, you know, former catchers or backup catchers to get the job, because for the great ones to coach, it's much different because nobody's as good as they are, and it sucks. And text line also wants me to bring up Ovi. I will. Alex Ovechkin's awesome. That record should have been celebrated more than it is. Beating Gretzky's goal-scoring record, I'm with you. Lamar Jackson, quote, has the number 8. Well, he's trying to trademark it. He's having some rough luck on that, but he's in a battle with Dale Earnhardt Jr. for the number 8. Listen, Lamar's good. Ovi's great. Ovi wears 8. Go fight Ovi over this, Lamar. Go do that, Lamar Jackson, because that is the true number 8, not you. He's good. He's beat the great one. He has more goals than he does. I think Ovi deserves the number 8 more than you do. Coming up next, though, there was an interesting office debate yesterday about the AFC West. Something Rob said they didn't really get to, but evidently it was debated here at the office. And I'm curious what everybody thinks. You can chime in on the text line if you want as well, 913-586-7965, the J Southland Tow Service text line. The office debate, AFC West style, next.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back, Jay Binkley, Rob Britton, CDOT back tomorrow. Text line 785 says, I think Rob's silence says it all. Rob's married, all right? We went to Rob's wedding, and it was great. The whole group was there, the whole 96.5, the Fan. It was 610 Sports Radio at the time of his wedding. That's how long he's been married. We were 610 back then. And he got married, but he should be silent. Now, the single guys say what you want, like this text. From the 954, Jay, we may be old, but we're not dead. We know a hottie when we see one. Doesn't make us creeps at all. It makes us men. Not a golf fan, but Paige is hot. Thank you, Neil. You should be mayor of Lone Jack, as always, and I appreciate the text. It's very nice of you. But yes, Rob Silence, he should be silent during these discussions. Dusty talks about Paige. Well, Dusty's a single guy, so he can do it. Alex Gold, single guy. He can do it. Drew, he's married. He can't do it. Cody can't do it. I get it. I understand that. So what you say is, I know why you're single now. Well, maybe so. But hot is hot. And when she's on my screen, it's worth viewing. Let me put it that way. It's worth viewing. But there's an office debate, Rob. I clearly wasn't here, but I saw it on X when I wasn't looking at Paige Spranick. I saw the office debate, which was what?
Karen and I were talking, you know, we're kicking around topic ideas for the show today, for yesterday, excuse me, just kind of chit-chatting. And we started talking about the AFC West and the upcoming season and all this. And we started thinking, the AFC West has a behemoth lineup of coaches now that Pete Carroll has entered the fold.
It's a who's who.
Who's the worst?
That's a great question.
All of them have at least been to a Super Bowl. Most of them have won college championships. Like,
yeah,
and a group of Andy Reid, Sean Payton, Pete Carroll, Jim Harbaugh, if you put them in any other division, they're probably any one of them, probably one or two as the best head coach. Who is the AFC West is the worst head coach, Bink? Because that's a who's who.
That's a great who's who. Who'd you vote for? I'm just curious. I'll tell you who I voted for, but who'd you vote for?
So I will give you the full breakdown of why I voted for who I did. I have Sean Payton as the worst.
And I agree with you.
Sean Payton's the worst to me because his Super Bowl was the furthest away of any of the coaches who won Super Bowls. Pete Carroll has won a Super Bowl more recently than Sean Payton. Also, he is the least accomplished as far as regular season of any of the four. And I think Reed is one. Harbaugh, despite not having a Super Bowl, has a college championship and an appearance, which gives him a little boost. And Pete Carroll might be two because he has multiple college championships and a Super Bowl plus another appearance. So I had it, if I had to rank them, I had it as far as what they've accomplished. Maybe not this year, but what they've accomplished. It's Reed, Carroll, Harbaugh, Payton. Excuse me.
I agree with you, and I like that list. What Sean Payton did with Bo Nix, that was good stuff. I mean, Bo Nix wouldn't looked upon as one of the better quarterbacks to take, but it worked. It worked out in Denver. That system worked. As far as Harbaugh, he wins. He'll win with the Chargers as well. It's what he does. Everywhere he's gone, whether it's Stanford, was it University of San Diego, he should have been a coach at Kansas, but they didn't want him. Should have been there, but he's won everywhere he's gone. He's gone to the Super Bowl, lost to his brother. He won a national title at Michigan. Perennial power when he was with the Wolverines. So, yes, I would put Harbaugh ahead of Payton. And, yes, Drew Brees is a big part of it, but it was Sean Payton's system. I get that. In their defense under Greg Williams, not a great defense, but it was extremely opportunistic when he was the Saints head coach. But, yeah, Andy Reid is clearly the dean. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. And if you just want to go by numbers, go by numbers. The only coach in the NFL that has more postseason wins is a guy named Belichick. That's it. Matter of fact, Andy Reid, with a good playoff run this year, will pass Belichick and will be all alone. He's the fourth all-time winningest head coach. Yes, he's gone to Super Bowls and lost. He's lost three of them, but he's won three of them. And then that's important. Yes, he's had Mahomes, but he's done it without Mahomes. The guy was a winner even with Alex Smith. This streak of nine straight division titles was Alex Smith started that, and he won with him. Didn't win it all with him, but he won games with him. So Reed's clearly number one. Pete Carroll is number two, in my opinion. And I look at this thing, too. He's 73. A young 73. He really is. That is a spry dude. Chews the gum hard, and I get that. But he won two national titles at USC. He's been to two Super Bowls with the Seahawks, winning one. Should have won the other one, which Brady wouldn't have one of those extra rings when we talk about the GOAT conversation if they run the ball with Marshawn Lynch at the one instead of throwing it. Russell Wilson threw a pick. Game's over.
That is Pete Carroll's fault, though. I mean, to be fair.
To be fair, it was, but
I have it too as well. But it wasn't like, you know, wasn't like Russ called an audible based on all indications reports that game. That was a play that was called in.
But he's a defensive guy.
Yep.
But he's a defensive guy, and we've seen Gus Bradley and all these other guys go and fail. A lot like New England's tree. Guys go all these other places and fail because in the end, it's Pete Carroll's system. Now, I do see a sense of urgency. He's going with Geno Smith as his quarterback. We can laugh at Geno Smith, and I honestly think he's better than Bo Nix. To be honest with you, I think he's the third best quarterback in this division. He did lead the NFL in percentage, 69% back in 2022, top 10 last year. We know he's at least accurate. And the sense of urgency will be there with Pete Carroll. He's not doing this just for fun. He wants to win. And the one thing I like about the guy, he's accepted failures. When it didn't work out the first run in the NFL and he was hired to go coach at USC, players and people didn't want him. Like, they didn't want him to do it, but he had to, like, come to Jesus moment with his team and say, all right, Those that are in, he got in the circle there at USC. Those that are in, come in. Those that are out, go out. And he created kind of a pie chart for people. I actually read one of his books, Winning Forever, and it was great because the things he talked about in life or business or whatever, it's true. When he talked about trust, being able to trust players around you so you can do your own job when you learn to trust the other people around you, it makes a big difference. I think Pete Carroll's a winner. So I'd go read Pete Carroll, and then I'd go Harbaugh because the guy just wins wherever he goes. And pairing a former quarterback with a guy that needs to win as a quarterback, Justin Herbert, I think is big. But quarterback-wise, I would go Mahomes, and then Justin Herbert, Geno Smith, and Bo Nix. You agree with that list there?
You're higher on Geno than I am.
But he's extremely accurate.
He's extremely accurate, but I think Geno, this is going to be kind of unfair to Geno maybe. I think Geno is like a souped-up stopgap. Like, he's like, when he's playing his best football and everything's, you know, humming around him, he's what, the 12th best quarterback in the NFL? And when things aren't humming around him and he's got to face some adversity, he probably falls into, like, he's not a dumpster fire. It's like 21st. It's kind of the range I think Geno falls in.
But it's what they need.
And I think that's kind of what Bo Nix is, too. But I think Geno Smith is worse than Bo Nix. I think it's very close. We're arguing 15th to 20th best quarterback in the NFL versus 14th to 19th range best quarterback in the NFL. But if you're telling me, hey, who do you want at quarterback, Bo Nix or Geno Smith? I don't know. I'm taking Geno Smith over Bo Nix. Like that, I just don't know.
It's more of a proven commodity. Let's see Bo back it up, right? It's always good to see the sequel. We know what you did in the first year. Can you back it up? Like, there was a lot of questions on the C.J. Stroud. Phenomenal year. His first year took a step back in year two. I want to see, can a quarterback get exponentially better each and every year? Like, everybody still waits on Justin Herbert. Everybody loves Justin Herbert. He have no playoff wins. Is the AFC West the best division in football? I think you can start making an argument. I think the Chiefs this past year winning the division was better than the other ones because three teams made the postseason. Three teams made the playoffs. Denver made it. The Chargers made it. Everybody's All-American. The Chargers made it. And the Chiefs. To me, this was the best coaching job for Andy Reid. On paper, not the greatest of teams in the world. We saw that. They found a way to win at the end. That's all that matters, is winning the game. As I mentioned, Andy Reid sits just three wins back for all-time postseason wins. The record is Belichick with 31 postseason wins. Andy Reid sits number two with 28. He's put a nice eight spot on Tom Landry in the second spot. So conceivably, probably this year and or next year, combined with that, he passes Belichick, and that's the all-time winningest head coach in the postseason. That's all that matters. Now, Justin Herbert, I'm waiting on, Rob. That's one of those things, like the draft talk actually matters with Justin Herbert. Because his draft profiles when he came out, right, was all about great arm. Good size, great arm. But are the rest of the guys going to buy into it? Like, does he have that leadership, extrovert personality that people kind of bond and get behind? And he didn't have that right away. That's why I like Joe Burrow off the bat better than Justin Herbert, because he had that. He had that intangibles. But the AFC West is extremely talented. Both coaching, well, these coaches are no joke. Like, all of them. They've all won rings. Two of them have won at the college football level as well. Some have reinvented themselves, like a Pete Carroll. The sense of urgency is there because he is 73 years old. And no, I'm not being an ageist here. I'm not no spring chicken myself. So I get that. But the sense of urgency would be there with the Pete Carroll. Now, of all the years for people to pick the Chargers to be the winners of this division, can they dethrone the Chiefs? I think there's more validity to it this year than in previous years when everybody on a hope and a prayer that the Chargers would win the division. I think there's more circumstantial proof that that could happen, especially if the Chiefs go play the Chargers in Brazil, which they're talking about. I think that's dumb.
I'm so happy you think that's dumb. I was about to ask you, what do you think about the Brazil game?
I think it's dumb. Don't get me started on international games. I know they're going to go to 18. We know that's what's going to happen. But I think it's getting a little crazy, all the international games. I've had fine going playing a couple games in Germany or whatever, but now it's Spain. Now it's going to be Ireland. Now it's going to be, well, it is Brazil. It was Brazil last year on Netflix, which it'll be this year too. It'll be another Netflix game, which these streaming Peacock. Companies love
it'll be,
the Chiefs.
It'll be Peacock for Brazil, not Netflix.
Oh, was it Netflix last year though?
Netflix is Christmas. They're going to Christmas Day.
Peacock. But it was Netflix last year, right?
No, for Eagles and Packers, it was Peacock.
Was that Peacock?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the way the Netflix contract works, they can only do Christmas Day games.
But I remember the Chiefs were the first ever playoff game on Peacock because they had a regular season game, I think, with the Chargers that year. Chargers and Bills, Peacock only. But the first postseason game, the first postseason Netflix game was the Chiefs. The first ever Amazon game was Thursday night with the Chiefs because they were Super Bowl champions. But that was an Amazon game. But the streamers love the Chiefs. Like, love or hate the Chiefs, people watch them. They either want to see them win or they, well, like a lot of people, they want to see them lose. They become the villains of the NFL, and I love that because that means you're good. If you're the villain, it means you're good. But these streaming companies love the Chiefs. I'm not wild about the Brazil game for the Chiefs. Even though it'll be available on TV, people can watch it on local TV. It's not going to be just on Peacock. You don't need to run out and get that because if the Chiefs are involved in the game, it'll be on one of the local TV. Usually it's 41. I think TV5 had one last year, didn't they? They got the rights, I think, to the Christmas Day game.
Yeah, I think they got the Netflix game. But it was only the Chiefs one. Once the Chiefs went off the air, you had to go to Netflix to watch Texans and Ravens.
Are you a fan of all the streaming stuff? Do you have all that stuff?
So I'm not a fan of it. I do have all the streaming services.
Do
I have
you?
I have Prime. I have Peacock. I've had Peacock for a while because I like watching the English soccer matches in the morning. So that's basically
well,
why.
That makes sense.
And then the Big Ten showed up on there, and now Notre Dame is on there. So like it kind of has worked out nicely like for me. The NFL.
Hey, don't forget
is now
about
on
the
there.
Office.
Yeah, the Office is on there. Parks and Rec. There's some stuff I watch on there. So I personally have all the streaming services. So it's frustrating. But I haven't lost being able to see games because of it. But I understand fans being angry because you are now getting nickel and dime to watch the NFL, which has historically been always over the air for free. But this is just what's going to happen with sports. Like the NFL is going to be the last one to do this. The NBA is putting games behind streaming services. We know that baseball has done that. This is just...
Well, baseball's losing the ESPN, which is huge.
The way of the future is games are on streaming platforms. They are not going to be over the air eventually. I think that's the eventual future of cable, unfortunately. But I don't like it, but I have come to realization that's the norm, and that's the future.
The good news is for Chiefs fans, you can still watch your games if the Chiefs are involved in the game on a local channel. I don't have all the streaming services, Rob. I've got the Amazon Prime. I've got ESPN Plus just because that's like a must for college football and NHL, things like that, to have ESPN Plus. But you know what? It is a pain in the ass to go back and forth with the streaming services. That's honestly why I like cable so much, because you can flip right to the channel. Like, I think Spectrum did a great job because I had it, and I hated it when they were in the fight with ESPN Disney and all that because... Yeah, poor me. I had to go to a sports bar and watch games, but that starts getting tiring, drinking all day and eating nachos all day. I mean, it sounds great. Don't get me wrong. It sounds great, but doing it all day kind of wears thin on you. But I'm okay with that. But as far as Amazon Prime, I always have that. You know, a lot of people are watching Royals on it now, which is fine. It's a nice service. You have it. Might as well. You have to pay extra for it, but I haven't heard people complain about watching the Royals anymore. That used to be the number one thing on our text line. People complain about TV. To a radio station that carries all the games, they complain about TV when you got the coverage. Text line asks an important question. Can you really argue a division is the best when the same team has won it for 9 years in a row? Well, three teams did make it from the AFC West to the playoffs last year. So, yeah, you can make that argument. Now, the AFC East, when the Patriots are running off 11 straight, then there's a real debate. Was that the best division in football, or is it just because the Patriots won 11 in a row? No, but with the coaches and what they've done and the fact that they all possess rings, I think it makes it a tough division, and winning it like Andy Reid does every year is incredible. He's not going to get Coach of the Year, which he should, but he doesn't get it because this is the toughest division, in my opinion, in football. You argue with that, Rob? Am I right on that, or am I looking short-sighted because I'm a Kansas
City? I 100% agree with you. And I also think you can say it's the best division while also having one team win it over on all, because I'm saying this through the lens of I'm a Kansas basketball fan, and for a long time, the Big 12 was the best basketball conference in America. They are not anymore, but for a long time, they were the beast of college basketball. It was the Big East, and it was the ACC, and the Big 12 had a reign of being the best conference in college basketball. KU, in that window, won the league every single year. You can have a really good conference. You can have a really good division and still have one bully on top of it. Like, it's not just, oh, one team's good because the division stinks. This division had three playoff teams last year. It wouldn't shock me if they have three playoff teams again next year.
Like, wouldn't be shocked at all.
It's a very good division. Just because one team wins all the time does not diminish the quality of the division to me.
It just means that team's better and better prepared. Mahomes only lost one road division game. That's insane. Now, the NFC North was good. Detroit won it, but the Vikings and Packers all made the playoffs. But did they win the Super Bowl? No. Were they real threats to win the Super Bowl? No. I mean, I don't think we looked at the Vikings as a Super Bowl caliber team last year with Sam Darnold. Didn't look at the Packers as a Super Bowl winning caliber team. And Detroit Lions just had too many injuries to stub their toe in the postseason. And really, if you want to be honest, I honestly think the NFC East is better than the NFC North, because you're talking about the Eagles. The Commanders, I think, are going to be a special team with Jaden Daniels. I love that pick. And I don't think the Cowboys are going to suck forever. The Giants, probably so. Like, I can't say anything good about the Giants. I think Brian Daboll is the first coach fired in the NFL. I think that's going to happen, but you can't be good in all spots. I think the Raiders are going to be better than a 4-win team with Pete Carroll and Geno Smith. I think that's a much better team than what they've been with the 4 wins. But I think it's still the Chiefs, the Chargers, then the Broncos, and then the Raiders. It's not saying the Raiders completely suck. I'm just saying that they've got work to do. But Pete Carroll is the right guy for the job with the Raiders, and they will be much better. And I think he's the second best coach in this division. Now, we can argue the quarterback situation all we want, but I do think it's the second best coach in the division. Coming up next, everybody wants to see him, Jack Caglione, except for Rob. We'll discuss that next.
Hey, it's Cole Reagans from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with C-Dot on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back. Jay Binkley, Rob Britton, Carrington back tomorrow. The Royals lineup's out, by the way. The designated hitter will be Jonathan India, betting first, of course. Then Witt Jr., Pasquantino, Perez, Massey, Canna in left field. Melendez in right field. He's played there 5 times, played 3 or 4 times in left field. Garcia at third, Isbell, and then Reagans, of course, your pitcher. And by the way, text line says that he thinks the NFC North is better. I disagree with that. Minnesota, we don't know how good they're going to be with McCarthy at quarterback. They don't even name him quarterback one. And I think it's a stretch with the Vikings. The Packers continue to get pounded by the Eagles. Detroit, who knows? They're going to fall off the cliff or not. We don't know. A lot of injuries last year with that team, but I'll go with the AFC West in that situation. But Jack Caglione, Cags, has been a hot topic, Rob. Everybody wants to bring him up. Now, he's the type of guy you do bring up if your team's in the tank, 100%. It's a guy you want to see. I love watching him play. I mean, I love that just the no fear he's got when he's at home plate. Guy's a masher. Guy's a crusher. I do want him to come up and have success and not failure, but I'm with it. But this whole thought about playing in the outfield, he hadn't done it yet. The guy's only played at first base in AAA. He didn't last night, did he? I don't think so, but his first couple games has always been at first. Is that correct? I don't think he's played in the outfield
I don't know
yet.
They had a game last night on Monday night.
Or maybe they didn't, but I know that
he's only been at first or DH to my knowledge.
But he's talked about going to the outfield. They have the organization when he gets to AAA. Not a double-A level when he gets to triple-A level. The hit that he had the other night when he hits it out of the park in double-A, that was cool. Again, you got to do it at the professional level. I'm for it, though. I like Cags a lot. I mean, that masher is something we want to see. Don't get me wrong. Just where do you put him? Where do you put him? Because at first base, you know, having Perez go out there, you know, get that break from being behind the plate. That's nice. Vinny at first base plays a good first base. So it's going to be tough there. The outfield, because again, like I said, Ken is an outfield tonight and not Renfro. He gets the night off tonight. But what about Cags? This is what J.J. Piccolo, the Royals general manager, said about him on Cody and Gold earlier, the full interview on the podcast page.
I think with Jack, I mean, it's really hard to, I guess, explain and understand. It's the quality of the bats guys are taking and who is he facing? You know, is he facing a quality, you know, pitcher that can make pitches similar to the pitches that he's going to be facing in the major leagues? You know, what's he doing against left-handed pitchers and what type of a bat is he taking there? We know he's got power. I mean, like that's not, I mean, for him to hit a ball the way he did in Tulsa, that's not surprising to us. But the very next day with two strikes, he hits a line drive to left center field. Another bat, he was down 0-2 and he walks. That's more important to us in trying to determine how ready he is for the major leagues than seeing him hit a hanging breaking ball 460 feet. You know, that he's going to do that, but it's how he handles his at-bats, what he does with two strikes. Does he recognize situations to get the run in because he's going to be in that category of run producer? But it's not going to be a small sample that we're going to make that determination. It's going to be a large sample. And, you know, we haven't determined, you know, is it 100 at-bats, 500 at-bats? We just have to have an instinct. We have people watching him every night. You know, we have reports from the coaches every night. You know, there is another step for him to take, and that's called AAA before he even gets to the major league. So, you know, that's what we're looking for. We want to see the quality of at-bat, the consistency, because we know one thing, it's a lot harder here in the major leagues because the pitchers are the elite of the elite, and we got to put him in the best position to handle that. So when he comes up, he never goes back, and that's the best way to handle players.
I mean, that's a good point. You don't want a Jackson Holliday situation where you come up, you struggle, and you send them back. Like, once you're here, you want them to stay here. But it does happen, and we've seen it happen. With Gordon, we saw Moose go down for a cup of coffee. It does happen. But I understand the draw, and I understand the want. The monster home runs are something we like to see. But not only that, we had a debate earlier. Who's the toughest Royal that you don't want to mess with? That's your answer right there, Cags, isn't it? I mean, because you think about toughest Royal right now, maybe it's Vinny, maybe it's Perez. Lorenzen might be it, might be your answer. But I think Cags, I think, would be the answer for that, Rob. Should they wait on with Cags, or do you want to see him up? Or is this team too good to experiment with a guy like Cags?
I understand why Royals fans are excited about Jack Caglione. I'm excited about Jack Caglione. But I think people are getting a little too instant gratification-y with Caglione. There are levels to this. He has played three games at AA. Three. He mashed a homer. Mashed it. I wouldn't say that was a major league quality curveball, but he mashed a homer in one of those games. And he has come out of the chute very hot. All what you wanted to see. Did all those things in spring training too. But like JJ's hitting that cut, we're going to play the long sample size game. I want to see him dominate AA. I want to see him dominate AAA before I see him come to the majors. I don't want to rush him up. And I think what has happened is, because the Royals outfield is mediocre to bad, people are trying to speed up Cag's process because they just think, I want it now, I want it now. If the Royals had a viable outfield, which maybe might be in the system, maybe it's Tyler Gentry, maybe it's Gavin Cross, maybe it's Drew Waters finally turned the corner. I think if they got better play at the major league level in their outfield, I think a lot of the excitement for Cags would be tampered down because fans would have a little more patience. But I'm going to exhibit that patience with Cags until it is abundantly clear, oh, now he's too good for this level. And at three games, he's not too good for the level yet. He just exists on the level. So I am team patience. I think the Royals are going to be team patience. One day that kid has a chance to be a major league star, but I think that one day is 2026. Maybe it's as a weapon in September of 25, but I don't think there's a chance that on the 4th of July, me and you are doing the show, Bink, and we're like, wow, look who's coming up. Because no. I think that would be extremely accelerated.
No, it would be, but I agree with JJ there. Depends on the quality of pitcher you're facing. I will say this, though. There is a ton of talent in AA. And some teams don't do the AA to AAA, and then you go play in the pros. They just don't do that. They hop from AA to the pros. It depends. I know when Dayton Moore was here, he liked the base stealing because it's tougher in AAA than it's AA. So that's where sometimes guys would hop up and play AAA before they played in Kansas City because it's tougher to steal bases in AAA. But you do have to do it here, and you have to do it against proven pitchers because, believe it or not, whether you think they suck or not, they are professional pitchers, and it does make a difference. And you want to see you guys succeed. I'm for that. Sean Mernon, you guys had on the drive. He's the voice of the Naturals, and he was asked the question, what is needed for Cags to hit his ceiling?
Yeah, and I think if you talk to player development people, everybody's different, and they want to make sure that every player gets what they need to be the best version of themselves. And so making sure that he gets to his ceiling and whether it's him or, I mean, again, Carter Jensen's 21 years old. Jack is 22. So Carter's, you know, got some games logged here in AA, and he's hitting the heck out of the ball
from
too.
Park Hill, baby.
And same thing with Gavin Cross. These are all highly thought of guys that have gotten off the hot starts this season. And it's more of a, you know, it's all reading the tea leaves and seeing when guys could go up. It's a matter of, is there room at the next level? Are they doing everything they need to do? There's a million things that go into it. So it's, I can understand why everybody's struggling, but at the same time, you know, again, player development and the big league staff and everything, they're trying to make sure that they get the most out of these guys and that these guys perform the way that they need to be, you know, productive big leaguers someday. Sometimes it takes time, sometimes it doesn't. And I just hope that fans trust that, you know, that front office is a good front office and they're going to make the best decisions possible to make sure that they maximize everything that they get out of that team.
You have to be patient. I don't think he lasts long in AA though, Rob. So we can talk about all Kansas City. I think he's in Omaha relatively soon.
I don't think so. I don't know. I mean,
I do.
I think if he's tearing the cover off the ball, you'll be right. But I mean, listen to JJ. He's like, we want to see a larger sample size. I don't think that's 1 month. I think it'll be around August before he goes to Omaha. So is that?
Oh, I think it'll be much earlier than that.
I think
Cody and Gold need to hurry up their trip down to Northwest Arkansas.
No. I think you'll be up in St. Joe watching football before Jack Caglione's up in Omaha.
It's not too far of a drive, you know. Are you going to join Cody Gold when they go down to Arkansas? Because you know they're going to.
I do like Arkansas.
I mean, they went down there for Bobby.
Carrington raves about how gorgeous of an area Northwest Arkansas is.
It is. Northwest Arkansas is awesome. It's a great beer area, by the way.
You say that about every... Actually, you know what?
Omaha is
legit a great beer area.
No, Omaha was. They kind of carried that mantle. I think Des Moines, Iowa is awesome. Man. I think Northwest Arkansas is awesome. Fayetteville, like Saddleback, and Little Rock has a ton. Like, Arkansas is no slouch when it comes to great breweries. I'll be honest with you. We took a trip down there, right? We wouldn't do that if it wasn't good. And it was fantastic. And we made that trek up north, too. That's where Fesco is, the one on one of the bridges in Madison County. He has people. He goes, "You're big bridge people too," in Fesco fashion. So yeah, but Northwest Arkansas does have the breweries. They like the mountain bike and stuff. It's a big mountain bike community and stuff like that. But Sean Mernon, great job with the Naturals. But that'd be worth it, man. If you like going out and seeing some minor league baseball, it brings you back to when like Hawes and Moose and all those guys, Duffy and all those guys in Northwest Arkansas, where they learned to win there. I think he gets up to Omaha by June. Could be wrong. I hope it's not when the Chiefs are in St. Joe. I hope that's not it for Cags, but I hope he's in Omaha sooner rather than later. We'll take a time when we come back. We play the hits.